We live in a time where there's not a lot of good news. You know what I mean? You hear the news reports, you see what's going on. Shane Lopez, he was the foremost researcher in what was called Hope. He was called a hope monger. He worked for Gallup. He was a research director at the Don Clifton Strengths Institute. He was a fellow of the American Psychological Association. And he is the foremost authority on what was considered hope. In fact, he said this. He said, human beings can live 40 days without food. They can go 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air. But you cannot live 4 seconds without hope. He said, hope is not just an emotion that we have, but it is an essential life tool. Hope. And we look around in our world today, I think about just our nation. We kind of isolate ourselves, and we can turn off the news. We can just kind of go into our own little cocoons. But in our nation, in our world, there are things just going crazy. We have a broken government. We can't get anything done because everybody's mad at everybody else. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, because all you're doing is yelling at each other. We have a broken government. And it's not just our national government over our nation. It's our local government. People, have you been to any of our council meetings or board meetings? I mean, people fighting and backbiting and I want this, I want that. And our government is just broken. We live in a time where there are wars and rumors of wars. And it doesn't matter what you do, because half of the people are going to love you, half of the people are going to hate you, and it just seems like there's bitterness and anger and everything else. We have famines, we have hurricanes and earthquakes, families in Puerto Rico still experiencing these things daily almost. We have diseases, and now we have this coronavirus. At first, I thought that was the beer, you know, the coronavirus was like too much beer. But no, someone brought something over from China, and it's like, this is like the movies that you see where people just get this stuff and they die, you know, and it's like, this is crazy. But it's not just out there, it's in ourselves. There are people going through the throes of divorce in their lives. We're watching families that are splintered and fractured. We look at our children sometimes, and we want our children to grow up and be great people, right? But sometimes today, we don't even know how our children are going to turn out, you know? There are addictions. There are things going on in our life. There are chronic illnesses, and some people go through the day hopeless. Hopeless. But that's not the way God wants us to live. Where do you place your hope? For some people that are feeling lonely, they place their hope in relationships with other people. In other words, if I could just find the right man or the right woman and we could get married, our life would be fine. But those of us that have been married for a long time, we know that the way to poke a hole in that balloon is to have a spouse, right? They're not the answer, because basically you're a broken person married to another broken person. And so we're except for me and Margie, we never had a, right, honey? Sorry, I forgot you were in the service. But you can't put your faith in another person, because a person will eventually let you down. Not on purpose, but it's just the way we are. Some people that are lonely, they look for people. Some people that are destitute, they put their faith in money and in wealth and in their job. And we know in these uncertain times, you could have a job today and be out of a job tomorrow. Some people that are sick are not healthy. They put all of their focus on health, and they spend all of their time in the proper foods and the proper things. And I got news for you. You know, I'm fast approaching 60, and I know I hadn't skied in over 35 years. And I went out skiing. It's like, man, this is easy. This is easy. Until the next morning, and my thighs are going, what were you thinking? I got news for you. I don't care how great shape you are. When you get 60 and 70, things begin to fall apart. I say all that not to bring you down. You know, welcome to Three Point Bible Church. We're going to tell you how bad life really is. No, that we have hope. And the hope that we have is found in the work of God. Nothing else. It's found in the work of God. I'm starting a series called Lessons from the Psalms. And we're going to be looking at some of the Psalms, not all of them, but we're going to be looking at some of the Psalms to see what God is saying to us. And just kind of a background, the Psalms were really songs. They were, it was like the song book for the early Israelites, you know, and these were praises that they would sing. And a lot of them have musical, you know, little connotations in there for us to do. But just in the Psalms themselves, let's just talk about hope today. If we're looking at hope, there are three things you got to remember. You've got to look behind, you got to look in your present, look around, and then you got to look forward. Okay, you've got to have that 180 or that 360. I mean, you look at what God has done in the past, and we realize God is faithful and will do what he says he will do. But then we look in our present. You can't just look in the past and say, like, well, you know, in the future, God's going to take care of me. No, he's with you in the present. And a lot of times we forget that. So I'm going to focus on that today. But then we also know that God promises he will always be with us, and that is for us in the future as well. So let's look at some of the Psalms and see what some of the Psalms say. Psalm 42:5 says this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation." Again, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. Psalm 39:7, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." Psalm 131 says this, "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." There are hundreds of these, and I could keep going, but that's just some of them. What I want you to do is open up your Bibles to Psalm 46. This is one of my most favorite Psalms. I won't say it's the favorite. I have, you know, depending on the mood I'm in, but this is a hot one. I really, really like this Psalm. This celebrates God's unique presence with his people. When Jesus says, "I will not leave you comfortless," in other words, "I will be with you. You will not be alone." Right? This is God's unique presence with his people. That's what separates God, the God that we serve, from all the other gods. All the other gods out there, you know, whoever. You know, whatever God you want, pick one. They're out there, and you spend your whole life trying to please this God so he doesn't get angry. No, our God is here with us. He's here with us. He's not out there. He's here with us, and he loves us. So we're going to be in Psalm 46. Just a little background on Psalm 46. Israel is a nation. And they're in Jerusalem, but all of these countries around are bigger, stronger, and they want to, you know, they want to go to war with Israel. So that's kind of the background. So let's look at Psalm 46. I'm going to start in verse 1. Listen to this. "God is our refuge and strength." Got that? God is our refuge and strength, our refuge. We can hide in him. He's our strength. You don't have to be strong. Listen to this. What kind of help? A very present help in trouble. A very present help. In other words, he is in the present, not just in the past. Oh, look at all the good things you did in the past. God, I wish you would just show up. He's here. He's a very present help in our times of trouble. God, he tells the people here in the psalm, if you listen to this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present and our help in trouble. In other words, I'm reminding you that God is here. God is with us. Verses 2 and 3, "Therefore," and whenever you see "therefore," you have to wonder what the "therefore" is there for. So if God is our refuge and strength and his very present help in our time of trouble, therefore we will what? We will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. Now when we get to the word Selah, I could tell you what it means, but no one really knows what it means. Not because I haven't studied. I have studied, but I've studied enough to know that nobody knows what it means. Some people thought it meant just a pause. Like it's a musical thing. Like, okay, it's the end of a verse, pause, and then start the next verse. Some people said it's more like an amen. For me, I kind of like the amen on that. Listen, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at the swelling. Amen. That's the way I feel on that. But you can say, breathe. Okay? Whatever happens, you don't have to worry because God is our very present help in the time of trouble. Though all this calamity is going on, though there are addictions in our lives, though our kids maybe not doing what they want to do, maybe our spouses are going nuts, maybe our life seems upside down, maybe our jobs and our businesses are crumbling, maybe we look at our government wondering, you know, who's going to come out on top, and whichever side comes out on top, has anybody even won? You know, and we look at that, but it doesn't matter because God is here. Amen. Then verse 4 and through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's Jerusalem. And that's where the temple was. Think about this. We're studying Numbers and Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights. And God was going to be with his people. And one of the things that the other people that worshiped their gods, they always had some kind of temple or they had a place where they would worship. So God says, okay, fine, build this tent. You're going to have this like portable temple. We're going to call it a tabernacle, and it's going to be in the center of the camp. All of the tribes are going to be around it. It's going to be right there, and I'm going to dwell there. And you're going to know I'm dwelling there because you're going to see a cloud in the daylight. You're going to see fire at night. And when I say move, you're going to see me move. And it's time to move. But now he's in Jerusalem and he says, I want a real temple. He gets a real temple. He's in the Holy of Holies. And this is where they're going to worship. So it says this, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, and Jacob is another word for Israel there. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our fortress. Selah. Amen. Or breathe. You can even breathe. Listen, the nations raise, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Yes. And then verses 8 and 9, I love this because God addresses the other nations. He looks around at every nation, and he decides their fate. Listen, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. Listen what God does. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and he burns the chariots with fire. In other words, the God that we serve, he looks around. He knows Israel's small. He knows these other people, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, all of them, they're much bigger, they're much stronger, they're much mightier, they're all of these things, but it's God who breaks the bow. He strikes down the chariots with fire, and those are the things that the Israelites are worried about. Man, we're going to be attacked. But God makes wars cease. And then I love this verse here. It's like the hallmark Christian verse that you would see. It says this, be still and know that I am God. Rapha. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You notice that's in quotes in my Bible. It's in quotes up there too. Listen, this is God speaking. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, you may have your moment in the sun, but I am God Almighty. I decide who rises, who falls, who wins, who loses, who moves ahead, who moves behind. I am your rock. I am your fortress. I am your very present help in your time of trouble. Hope. Hope that we have that a lot of people in the world don't have. They're living lives hopeless. But we are living lives of hope. And then verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's our castle. He's our stronghold. God is with us. And to see the work of God, to experience the hope that the Holy Spirit gives all believers, that we need to look back, we need to look around in our present, and we need to look forward, because God has moved in our past. We were adopted into the family by His mercy and grace in accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's what God did in our past. He became the sin that we had. He lived the perfect life that we couldn't. He became the perfect sacrifice that we could never do that. So we don't have to experience the hell. So we were adopted into His family. We were made new. That's what He's done in the past. But God sits at the very center of our now. He's our very present help. And God will continue to move in our future. Whew. Selah. So how do we see God move in our present? How do we see God move in the now? Because, you know, we can all agree, okay, I came to Christ and I remember that mountaintop experience, and I felt, like John Wesley said, I just felt warm inside. But how do we see Him now? You know, where are you, God, when it seems like my family is just going crazy? Where are you when it seems like our country's going to, what is it, hell in a handbasket? I don't know, however you say that, whatever it is. How can I say that when I'm watching families split up and divorce and anger and bitterness and resentment, and that seems to be the rule of the day? Well, I think three ways. The first way is His Word. Bruce Wesley, who is a pastor out in Texas, he said this in one of his books. He said, when we open our Bibles, God opens His mouth. In other words, when you open God's Word, you can hear and see what God is saying to you. When you open your Bible, God opens His mouth. His Scripture, the Bible, God reveals His character, and He reveals the character that we're supposed to have as we are made holy because He is holy. As we are made more Christ-like because that's who is our Lord. Psalm 119, 114 says this, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your" what? "Your word." Psalm 130, verse 5 says this, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His" what? "Word." In His word, I hope. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of" the what? "Scriptures, we might have" what? "Hope." Hope. A lot of people are afraid to open their Bibles because, you know what, God's going to say, I can't do this, I can't do that, He's going to take away all my fun. This is filled with hope. And when you open it, God speaks. Not just His Word, though, the Holy Spirit. We don't like to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit because, you know, sometimes we get weirded out. Like, oh man, I'm going to start speaking in tongues. I'm going to start levitating around the building. I've seen on TV sometimes where people dressed in white just start running around the building because, you know, they're filled with the Spirit. You know, we see things like that, so we get kind of freaked out. But that may be their Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that lives in us. When Christ said, I'm going to go and it's going to be better for you. I'm going to go and it's going to be better for you. that I go. We're in a Bible study on Thursday nights, and this is what it said. When Jesus was here, he would talk to us, and he would kind of heal the outside. I mean, you come, you got leprosy, he would heal you. If you couldn't walk, he would say, get up, take your mat, go. If you busted through someone's ceiling and you got laid down, he said, hey, take it and go, and maybe clean up some of those shingles. I don't know what he said after that, but he healed from the outside. But this is what he told his disciples. He goes, it's going to be better for you if I go, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's not just going to heal on the outside. He's going to be in you. You're going to have the Spirit of me, the Spirit of Christ in you to go out and live a powerful life. You look at the disciples before the Holy Spirit. Hey, Jesus, what about this? Hey, Jesus, what about this? Woo, Jesus, you know. And Jesus is always having to treat them like kids. And we're reading like, man, if I was there with Jesus, I'd be so much better. It's like, no, you wouldn't. You'd be just like the disciples. Because these guys were with him 24/7, right? But after Jesus left and the Spirit came on them at Pentecost, all of a sudden Peter, who denied Christ, Peter, who started walking on the water, then fell in the water, Peter, who cussed out himself, he's saying, no, I don't even know that blank man, and denied Christ. That Peter was the same Peter that stood in front of the thing and said, you could kill me if you want, but you check and see if we should obey God or we should obey you. And then they went out rejoicing when they got beat because they thought they were like, okay, it's worth it to suffer like Christ suffered. Stephen, who was stoned and killed, they said his face just was peaceful and calm as he was, he had something in him that was different. And we all could live a powerful life, and we live less than powerful. We live less than hopeful. So yes, the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter your strength. It doesn't matter your weaknesses, because the Spirit of Christ is in you. It's not you trying to do anything. It's the Spirit of God in you that's making a difference. Romans, Paul says this in chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you all joy and peace and all believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in what? Hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit, not yours, not your strength, not your weaknesses, but the power of the Holy Spirit, you can abound in hope. So yes, God's Word, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, but also, and we just got finished preaching on this for a long time, the church, His people. Man, we write that off sometimes because it's like, oh, it's just something to go to. This is another thing on my calendar. But listen to this. In 1 Corinthians, Paul calls the church the body of Christ. We come together. We study together. We grow together. We do life together. We get angry with each other. Iron sharpens iron. We're family. Families don't all the time get along, but someone else comes against the family, what happens? Don't you talk about my mama. I'll talk about my mama, but don't you talk about my mama, right? Paul says this in his letter to the Galatians. Bear one another's burdens. That's the church, our family. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Love God, and the second command is just like that. Love others, right? So there, fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. 1 Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. That's what the church does. Hey, man, I want you to, I want the best for you. And so I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to, if I got to get behind you and push you, I'll get behind you and push you. Sometimes Sandra gets behind me and kicks me. It's okay. We're encouraging each other. This is a journey we're all on together. We are the church. We are the body of Christ here in this place. Paul in Romans again, love one another with brotherly affections. Listen to this, outdo one another in showing honor. Man, I'm going to show you I love you more than you love me. Could you imagine the church if we were like that? I want to serve you more than you want to serve me. And instead of, I want to see, you know, I just didn't get anything out of that service today. It was just too hot in there and that music's too loud. Nothing. I'm going to go somewhere else, you know. We're just trying to serve you, you know. never-ending, never-ceasing, boundless love. I want to close with this. This is Psalm 33. This is one of the songs that they sang. Listen to this. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our what? He is our help and our what? Shield. You know, he is our fortress, our strength, right? For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Father, let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. They sang this psalm in the old days. Can we sing that today? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you as our God of hope, as our strength and our refuge and our fortress. Father, we know that everything comes from you. All good and perfect gifts come from you and from above. And Father, we want to open our Bibles more. We want you to speak to us. We want you to let your words just live in us. Father, we want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We want to live as powerful people, not because of the things that we can do, but the things that you do through us. And Father, we want to be your church. We want to be the church that you have called us to be, that you have set us apart to be. And Father, we just give you all of the praise and the glory, and we do all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.